Don Finkel and the white stripe down Orchard Bank.
I'm going to change my mind. I'm going
to go marching song. Okay. And it has a refrain that I swiped from Roger's thesaurus. It goes like this. We shrouded the sea. The beaches twittered. We trampled the beaches. The provinces woke. We butchered the provinces. The capital bleated. We sacked the capital. The embassy protested. For God, heaven's goodness, mercy sake. We cut down the workers. The women bled. We strangled the women. The children howled. We drowned the children. The puppies whimpered. We burned the soldiers. The captains braved. We tortured the captains. The generals broke. We hanged the generals. The president bellowed, for God's heaven's goodness, mercy's sake. We blasted the jungle. The fields lay down. We gutted the fields. The cities shrieked. We raped the cities. The rivers wept. We poisoned the rivers. The sea whined in her bed. For God's heaven's goodness, mercy's sake.
Can you do that? I thought you were going to start working for me. Thank you.
Volume up?
Speak.
Okay? Is that more like it? Okay. I like stealing things from from various sources. This is from Girly Magazines, which is one of my favorite things. It's mainly patched together out of the advertisements in the back. I'm thinking of a very frustrated and familiar man who's called he in this poem, so that nobody can feel embarrassed. Title is, Some of the Shots Will Make You Gasp Aloud. He sits in the window, grinding his groin with his horny fist, leafing through batches of Lust and Snatch and Naked Mother. Lame Angel has exhausted the tireless go-go girls. He is learning to read. How just in days you can acquire the hidden secrets of 5,000 years of ruthless terror. From the merciless Nahuatian Indians to the foot fighters of the French underworld. Free, 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 free. Try the fantastic French extension. Flips open instantly and locks automatically to prevent accidental closing. Razor sharp, tough, stainless, over 200 pages on the pleasures of pain. If you read the right book. It all depends on what you've been reading. If you've been reading the Post-Dispatch or something, you're not going to find that stuff. Let me read a... At this point, let me read a poem dedicated to my son who is hiding somewhere. It's called Interview with a Winner. It came out of another magazine, Sports Illustrated, which I read rarely. What was it like? Like losing, same bloody feet, blazing tendons, same sweet release, melancholia of exhaustion. What did you win? A chance. For what? To do it again. That wasn't it either. What did you get? Through. What's left for you? Tomorrow's race. Losing is worse. I wanted to read a batch of poems that I've been working on fairly recently, which is always a mistake. I've been trying to build a character. I didn't know his history for a long time. His name is the Detachable Man. And as I'm beginning to understand his early history, when I was born, I was actually a twin. I didn't realize it until very recently. And this is the other half. He's loaded up. And that's the only explanation I have for this. I have a poem. That's lovely. This is called On the Morning of His Nativity. Loosing his final stage, the detachable baby rose like an unguided missile over the city, affording father one easy lesson in blind flying, who shortly flew the coop himself, divorcing the beast with two backs neatly, as you might part a paper match, easing a thumbnail in its foot. Father groped the secretary. The fibers of his newborn foreparts trembled blindly like antenna. Reaching into the cradle, mother fished me out like an afterbirth and clapped me mewling to her breast. High in his unsteady orbit, tumbling among the lunar garbage, the baby heard and rejoiced. Which is to say, my twin, my detachable shadow, vagrant frere, Tweedledee unbound. After eons in orbit, he's come to rest in a railroad flat in the Dutch East 80s over Kaiser's butcher shop, incognito. No one has seen the faint rebirth mark on his heel where he cut himself loose. We keep, so to speak, in touch. Dead leaves. He walks to the window, can't sit still, watches three starlings in the ginkgo playing dead leaves. Downstairs in the butcher shop, the chop, chop of the chopping block parts the thread of his reverie. On his toes, like a cat or a pig, he migrates to the fridge for a can of Rheingold. Over the oven, up to its neck in a calendar, a thumbtack dreams the dance of seven veils. Its head squats on a silver salver, smug as a slug in a blind man's bowl. I should say at this point that these poems are in some way dedicated to New York, which is my hometown. I called it in another poem, The Apple Rotting Below the Horizon, to Garbage City, New Jeopardy, East Gangrene, where I come from. So that's my only introduction as far as that's concerned. I'm sorry to be reading in St. Louis this ode to the sinking city. This is called Evensong. He is pruning his nails with the tin shears. He never trims the same nail twice. On the Prussian blue formica field, nine horned moons lie fallen when he beholds on the back of the cracker box the legend, cut a long dotted line and say, working the blade of his penknife between his crepe sole and the glow coat, he can think of no one more worth saving. Outside, a leaf springs from the ginkgo's wrist, to which it has been clinging by one thumb, twirls and curtsies to the pavement, and takes the first gust west toward Central Park. The sun drops into the slavering jaws of New Jersey like a sugar cookie. Let me break that up with a poem just to make, to turn my head around a little. If I can find it now. It's a poem called Building Ahead. It's built, I just finished it for the eighth time today, and it just occurred to me that I'd kind of like to do it. It takes a little help, I'm hoping JB can give me. The image I'm building on here is that of a steam calliope. So when I say building ahead, you can figure out for yourself whether it means a head of steam or some other kinds of heads. Anyway, it's just an attempt to try to explain how long it takes me to build up to do one of these things. Oh, that's nice. Nice. Sometimes I hold my breath for days, building a head of steam to drive my cold calliope. Sometimes I pant like a bloodhound under an August porch. From the tiniest pipe, a whisper spills, thin as a spent match. The name of the wind that scatters my breath is hope. Hoodoos and abracadabras. He feels the tug of the phantom cord. Downstairs, the butcher hefts a pound of fresh brown flesh, smiling like the moon over Berchtesgaden. I conceive of the detachable man as living in Yorkville, which is the East 80s in New York City, which was a fairly nasty hotbed of Nazis during the Second World War. They kept being pressed down. So it's just the perfect place for him to sit around. But he actually was born in the Bronx. And when he goes back to the Bronx, he discovers it's changed. This is a poem called Pilgrimage. The dismembered man returns to visit the stump. He wonders whether the body politic still aches in the phantom limb. It has healed remarkably well. Where the fruit man once waxed apples, a laundromat flourishes. Upstairs, in all the fragrant cells, the Puerto Ricanos are bearing fruit. In the steamy bush, a macaw screams. But however, he doesn't stay long. Never for long is the name of this one. The prodigal man returns and returns. Never for long. The roast gives out. The restless eyes that snag his sleeve with little blue hooks. The fingers soft as slugs. The sodden Kleenex and the piano scarf conspire to detain him. But stuffed like a goose, he leaps to his feet, tearing free, and flaps out the window, honking high over Yankee Stadium. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know why this happened. This is just almost the last thing to happen to the poor fellow. I haven't been able to get him fully out of it. He does begin to recuperate in the last couple of times, short poems, as you'll see. But this is what I got him into that I'm going to have to get him out of now. It's called Till the Doctor Comes. Keep still, rasps the cop, like a 6-foot school marm, planting one meat hook on his clavicle, drives V-Man into the pavement. The white-eyed boy who knelt beside him, probing his wound in the star-struck alley, shudders now in the park by a drinking fountain, washing the blood from his billfold, while the cop contemplates a pool of raspberry syrup creeping from one hip pocket, where the proceeds of a Saturday night special linger, nuzzling his holy bone. In dreams, running through honey, groaning up stairwells, hand over hand, along greasy railings, through pastures of glue, eluding battalions of shadow, after cloudy vulvas, wide and untouchable as the horizon, his legs have staunchly churned, which now lie preternaturally calm, though his arms dance the fandango, and his head bobbles on its string, a lunatic balloon. Keep still, the cop hisses. He would if he could. He has managed for 60-odd years to keep off the grass, out of harm's way, his hand in, his eye on the apple, his nose clean, not to mention his word and his cool. For 60 springs and 60 falls, he has kept away from, down to, up and on, but never still.